You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's October 9th, 2025, and welcome to episode 153 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you so much for tuning in to the program today. We are continuing our Halloween-themed month of episodes, and on this week's show, I'm going to be talking about Phasmophobia. But we start the day by checking out some of the headlines from this past week. And today's news story comes from Stephen Totillo at Gamefile. It sounds like Ubisoft chickened out on one of the most interesting concepts in Assassin's Creed due to racist internet trolls and the current political climate. Totillo reports that the publisher canceled an Assassin's Creed title that was in development and would have taken place in post-Civil War era United States. He writes, quote, "The new game would have brought the history-spanning series to one of the most modern settings, the American Civil War, and more so the Reconstruction period that followed in the 1860s and 70s. In this Reconstruction era Assassin's Creed, gamers would play as a black man who had been formerly enslaved in the South and move west to start a new life. Recruited by the series' assassins, he would return to the South to fight for justice in a conflict that would, among other things, see him confront the emergence of the Ku Klux Klan." The information comes from about five current and former Ubisoft employees, and it states that Ubisoft flinched after the online backlash from a small minority to Yasuke, the black samurai in Assassin's Creed Shadows, and worries that political tensions in the U.S. were currently too high. In other words, racist pricks would get mad about it, and they caved rather than stick to their guns. I'm not going to lie. As a longtime fan of the series, playing as a former slave and brutally killing your way through a bunch of KKK members sounds wildly entertaining. And it kind of sucks that they gave in so easily. I shouldn't be surprised, you know, that a giant corporation would rather bow to a, like I said, a vocal minority instead of sticking by their developers, especially in an age when some people actually worry about portraying literal Nazis in a negative light. But still, it stinks. Phasmophobia has been around for a number of years now. It actually debuted into early access on Steam way back in 2020. Since then, it's become kind of an internet juggernaut, or an indie juggernaut, I should say, winning Best Debut Game at the Game Awards and Best Debut Developer at the GDC Awards. It's also sold over 20 million copies, which is wild. So it's kind of a big deal. I didn't play it when it first came out because I don't do much in PC games. I've talked about that many times. But last year, they brought the game to consoles. So I thought it would be the perfect time to hunt some ghosts with my amateur paranormal investigator daughter. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the concept, up to four players team up to investigate a number of haunted locations and look for evidence of the supernatural sort with all manner of investigative gear. So since the game supports cross-platform play, I set up in the living room on my Series X, and Sam took her laptop downstairs to the family room. We figured, even though we're in the same house, we might as well make the most of the experience and use the game's proximity chat feature. So we jumped right into the game without really knowing what we were doing or figuring out the objective. We thought, what the hell? Let's just wing it. And you start off at your ghost hunting headquarters, where you choose the location that you're going to investigate, and then you choose the gear that you want to bring along on that investigation. You'll also be able to upgrade and buy new gear as you progress and as you make money. Since we were both brand new to the game, we had just one map to choose from and the default gear, which was an EMF reader, a UV light, notebook, laser pen, camcorder, mercury thermometer, and a plain old flashlight. Once you launch into the mission, you start out in your van, which is parked outside of, the house in this case. And there you've got a map and various other tech used to monitor what's going on. But again, we didn't really do any preparation, so we just grabbed our stuff and ran into the house. At first, it wasn't much more than a, slightly creepy old house. We went around from room to room, checking things out. And for the first 5-10 minutes or so, nothing was really going on. It was just, an empty home. But eventually, after being there for a while, things started cooking. The sound of a door heard shutting from the other side of the house, odd creaking noises, a picture frame falling off the wall all by itself. It's like, okay, here we go. Here things are happening. And then it got into the good stuff. The EMF reader started to pick some things up. I could tell that Sam was getting a little nervous down in the basement by herself. She ran around and turned on all the lights in the house. In the game, I mean, not like in our house. We started to hear whispers next, other creepy sounds, but we couldn't tell where it was coming from. We kind of ran around frantically using the ultraviolet light and the laser pen, trying to find the source of the activity and the noise. And then the lights went out. And Sam screamed. And so we ran down into the basement where we had seen the fuse panel earlier, flipped back on the lights, and went back upstairs to do some more searching. But before we could really do much more, the lights went out again. And then all of the doors slammed shut. And then a pair of hands appeared on either side of my face, and Sam said that from her viewpoint, my neck appeared to snap itself. Lovely. So, okay, maybe we should study some more. So that night, I did a little research, and what you need to do is, as you use your gear to find evidence, you go into your journal, which is in the pause menu, and you mark it off from a list of things that you may experience. As you do that, there's also a list of the 24 spirit types that are in the game that you can encounter, and that list will get smaller because each spirit has specific traits associated with them. So once you kind of start checking things off, you'll narrow down what you're dealing with. And once you narrow it down to a specific ghost, the goal is to then go back to your van and leave to complete the level and collect your reward payment. I also learned that you can determine which room in the home was the spirit's favorite by looking for the coldest room. There's also kind of like a sanity meter. So the more time you spend in the house, the more time you spend, especially in the dark, you are more likely to be approached by a spirit. So we went into night two much better prepared for what we were going to deal with. So again, the next night we entered the small one-story home. I went from room to room with the thermometer in hand to try and determine the coldest spot while Sam was looking around for other evidence. I discovered that the kitchen was reading at a chilly 5 degrees, so we kind of set up all of our equipment there. We set down the notebook and the pencil, which is something that the spirit can kind of interact with. We aimed the green laser dots at that book, so if anything, you know, used it, we would also capture it with the lasers. And then Sam started recording the area with her camcorder. And wouldn't you know it, after a short while, her camera picked up some glowing white orbs that were like floating over the kitchen. And then the EMF reader spiked up to a 5, which is the top level. And then the best evidence of all, we caught the form of a figure walking through the kitchen through the green laser lights. And I gotta say that even creeped me out a little bit. That was kind of weird. It was eerie. And by marking off those things in the notebook, we were able to determine what kind of spirit it was. And we went back to headquarters and we collected our money, which we could then use to, like I said, buy more gear. As you progress in the game, you'll unlock bigger buildings to explore and upgrade your gear. And it's quite a bit of fun, I gotta say, with another person, with some people, especially if you're playing in the right environment, I would say, to make it spooky, you know. Turn those lights low, get the proximity chat going, maybe light some candles, really set the mood. I'm looking forward to playing more of this with her and seeing what else the game throws at us. I might have to talk her into it, though, because after our most recent play session, she was so creeped out that she refused to leave the van. Finally, I just want to mention that this week is National Mental Health Awareness Week. Dealing with mental health issues can be incredibly challenging. It can be difficult to realize or to admit to yourself that you might be struggling. It can also be challenging for a lot of people to find the resources to get help. But you need to know that, first of all, it is completely normal. 1 in 5 people in the U.S. deal with mental health issues, and there are 322 million people worldwide suffering from depression. So you might think that you're all alone, but you absolutely are not. Also, there are resources out there for you. In addition to the local resources that hopefully are available in your area, there are organizations like the Mental Health Coalition and the Trevor Project, and there's also the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You can call or text to 988 if you need help, and it is 100% free and confidential. So don't have to worry about it. Just call. I've dealt with mental health issues my entire life, and I'm currently on medication for it, and it's been very helpful. So don't ever feel like you have to deal with this on your own. There are lots of people out there who want to help. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of this show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, have a great week and happy birthday, Matt Damon.